I want to thank Pastor Chris. Kind of strange calling your son-in-law your pastor. But thank Pastor Chris for asking me this morning to preach here this morning. I appreciate that. Delana, thank you for letting him ask me. I want to, now listen, we're going to be a little bit late getting out this morning. The Baptists and the Church of Christ and the Methodists, they're going to beat you to the restaurant, so don't worry about it. It's a good thing, really, because they'll eat the stuff that's already been cooked. They'll have to cook fresh stuff for you when you get in there. Amen. Try not to hold you too long this morning. What was that little remark? Okay, all right. Thank you, brother. I want to read you something this morning. Take just a little bit of my preaching time. I thought it was so cute. It's a little something that's called Through the Eyes of a Child. And this little boy, or this little, maybe have been a girl, but they asked him to, they sort of summed the Bible up through the eyes of a child. Listen to what it said. Listen closely. In the beginning, there was nothing but God, darkness, and some gas. The Bible says the Lord, thy God, is one. But I think he must be a lot older than that. Y'all get that? Anyway, God said, give me a light, and someone did. Then God made the world. He split the atom and made Eve. Adam and Eve were naked, but they weren't embarrassed because mirrors hadn't been invented yet. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating one bad apple, so they were driven from the Garden of Eden. Not sure what they were driven in, though, because they didn't have cars. Are y'all listening to this? This is funny. Adam and Eve had a son, Cain, who hated his brother as long as he was able. Pretty soon, all of the earthly people died off except for Methuselah, who lived to be like a million or something. One of the next important people was Noah, who was a good guy, but one of his kids was kind of a ham. Come on, laugh with me this morning. Noah built a large boat and put his family and some animals on it. He asked some other people to join in, but they said they would take a rain check. After Noah came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was more famous than his brother Esau because Esau sold Jacob his birthmark in exchange for some pot roast. Jacob had a son named Joseph who wore a really loud sports coat. Another important Bible guy is Moses, whose real name was Charlton Heston. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and away from the evil Pharaoh after God sent 10 plagues on Pharaoh's people. These plagues included frogs, mice, lice, bowels, and no cable TV. God fed the Israelites every day manicotti. Then he gave them his top 10 commandments. They include don't lie, cheat, smoke, dance, or covet your neighbor's stuff. Oh, yeah, I just thought of one more. Humor thy father and thy mother. This is through the eyes of a child. One of Moses' best helpers was Joshua, who was the first Bible guy to use spies. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. And the fence fell over on the town. After Joshua came David. He got to be a big king by killing a giant with a slingshot. He had a son named Solomon who had about 300 wives and 500 porcupines. My teacher says he was wise, but that don't sound very wise to me. After Solomon, there was a bunch of major league prophets. One of these was Jonah, who was swallowed by a big whale and then barfed up on the shore. There were also some minor league prophets, but I guess we don't have to worry about them. After the Old Testament came the New Testament. Jesus is the star of the New Testament. He was born in Bethlehem in a barn. I wish I had been born in a barn too, because my mom's always saying to me, close the door, were you born in a barn? It would be nice to say during his life that Jesus had many It would be nice to say, but during his life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners like the Pharisees and the Democrats. Jesus also had 12 opossums. The worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil that they named a terrible vegetable after him. Jesus was a great man. He healed many lepers and even preached to some Germans on the Mount. But the Democrats and all those guys put Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate. Pilate didn't stick up for Jesus. He just washed his hands, and Jesus died for our sins, then came back to life again. He went up to heaven, but he'll be back at the end of the aluminum. His return is foretold in the book of Revelation. Isn't God good? I want to share just real quickly before I start preaching, and I won't try to hold you too long, but I got something I really feel like I need to share with you this morning. I've been praying, along with many of you have, I know, in the last few months especially, because the Bible said in the last days that there'd be a lot of bad things happen. We ain't got time to get into all that this morning. A lot of these terrible things in the world, wars, rumors of wars, and all kind of things that are bad, real bad. But in the middle of that, he also said, and we see all that happening right now, he also said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Right in the middle of all that bad stuff, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And I believe that's where we're living in today. And we've been praying for God to do that here in Hohenwald and Lewis County, Tennessee, United States, all over the world. And we're not the only ones. There's been a lot of people praying for that because that's what God said would happen. In the last week or two, and I started seeing it several months ago, in the United States, there's been a great move of God taking place in a lot of places. College campuses, hundreds and thousands of college students, and even our high schools, but a lot of all over the world, all over the United States, but hundreds of thousands of them would gather together for maybe a little devotion or something. Somebody got it up, and it broke out in revival, and tens of thousands of them were saved, and many of them found a pool of water there on the campus, Alabama, Tennessee, all around, and got baptized and started living for the Lord. And then we've had a great revival among a lot of other people here in the United States. But then what really astounded me was I got to notice just in the past couple of weeks, worldwide, because if we're not careful, we get to thinking we're the only people Jesus loved and came and died for. That's not true. The whole world, he loved the whole world. And there's been revival breaking out. If the accounts I'm reading are true, and I believe they are, and all over the world, and I've been reading where in the Philippines, there has been hundreds of thousands marching in the streets for Jesus in the Philippine Islands. And then in Nagaland, Nancet and I have been over there a time or two. That's the northern part of India, way out in the boondocks. But there's been a big revival break out there, a tremendous revival. In Iran, listen to this, in Iran, all we hear about is all that other stuff been going on, but they posted that there has been a big revival in Iran, and said many of those people, and this is what's amazing to me. I've always thought about this. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. And according to the report that we're getting and receiving out of, I'm talking about a bunch of people in that Islamic country. I mean, I don't know what they are, but they're crazy. A lot of them are mean and ugly, but they believe in a wrong God. But according to that report in Iran and some of these other places too, God has been visiting some of those people in dreams and visions. And he reveals himself to them, and they turn from those false gods to him. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands. Folks, I'm about ready to shout. We are living in the last days, and the Lord's blessing here too. Afghanistan, and there's many others. I didn't even write all of them down this morning, but the Lord's getting ready to come back, and I hope you're ready, and I believe many of you are. But if you're not, I think somebody said something about that a minute ago. I encourage you to get ready. What do you mean, Brother Bill? Well, repent of your sins. Ask the Lord to come into your heart, into your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, and you'll be saved. Confess Him with your mouth, believe in your heart, and then you need to get baptized in water as soon as you can. And just ask God to fill you full of the Holy Spirit and then live according to the word of the Lord. And He'll help you. And when the trumpet sounds, we'll be able to get out of here. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9, and verse 32. Acts 9 and verse 32. I just really feel led to share this morning. Lord wants me to share, and some of you may have heard me preach this. I've been preaching this message a long time at different places when I get a chance to go somewhere, for many years. But seemed like this morning, last night and this morning, the Lord really laid on my heart to share this word again this morning. So look with me in Acts chapter 9. In verse number 32, Acts 9:32, and it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. Notice that. We're going to talk about that this morning. He had kept his bed, laid in his bed, 8 years, because he was sick of the palsy. 8 years he lay in bed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Heavenly Father, help me this morning to share this word like you'd have me to, in Jesus' name. Touch people's heart and lives. Amen. Arise, make up your bed. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on the thought, arise and make up your bed. Arise and make up your bed. Aeneas had been in his bed 8 years. I don't know how old he was, but something happened to him, and he went to bed, and he had a problem, physical problem. And then when Peter saw that, as I read to you, he said, Aeneas, rise, make up your bed. And it goes on to say that he got up, made up his bed. And he said, because Jesus Christ is making you whole. When you make up a bed, that means you're through with it. Most of the time. But you're through with it. You won't be using it anymore, at least for a little while. I had a friend, Brother Ricky Pitts' father, over in Summertown. He's done gone to be with the Lord now, but I preached over there quite a bit for him, and he was telling me one time, I think I preached this message, and he come up to me after the service. And he said, Brother Bill, he said, I've been retired for a while now, worked for the railroad company. And he said, I lay in bed, and then when I get up, I don't have to go to work. When I get up, he said, my wife goes in there and makes up the bed. And he said, that really kind of irritates me. And I told her, said, don't make up my bed, because I'm probably going to get back in it sometime today. And he laughed about that. Near, I forgot that. But he told Aeneas, arise, make up your bed. Get through with it. You don't need to get back in it anymore. Make it up. And he did, because the Lord touched him, made him whole. Beds are a wonderful thing when used properly and appropriately for the right reasons. Paul said, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. If it's used for the wrong reason, it's not good, but if the right reason, beds are a wonderful, wonderful thing. We all need them. They play a vital role in our lives. And what I'm sharing with you, you know this. Beds are for rest, relaxation, comfort, recuperation sometimes. Recuperation during sickness or on and on and on. But a bid can be a hindrance when you do not get out of them, wallow in them, or become lazy, slothful, whatever. There are a lot of people that I know and have known over the years that used to be up and out of that bed. And I'm talking about spiritually now for the Lord. They'd be just out of that bed. They made it up and on fire for God. But for some reason or other, they went back to that bed and are not useful for the Lord or anybody else. There's all kinds of beds today. I just shared this with you a little bit. There's all kinds of beds today, as we all know. Bunk beds, twin beds, regular beds, queen beds. Nancetta and I have a queen bed we sleep in, and sometimes when we go to a hotel somewhere on a trip, we'll get a king-size bed. I can't hardly find her because she likes to lay on her left side, and I said, come here. But anyway, all kind of beds, and there's all kind of there. The Bible talks about beds in Deuteronomy. The first king-size bed that I read of is found in the Bible. King Bashan had an iron bedstead. Listen to this. 13 and a half feet long and 6 foot wide. Man, he had a long, big old bed. But the beds I'm talking about, and there's water beds. Anybody remember water beds? I don't think you hear much from them anymore. Chris, I'm going to tell this. I hope you don't get mad at me. And forgive me. I ask you to forgive me in advance. Chris and Delano lived in Louisiana, and they wasn't either one living for the Lord. They got away from the Lord, and Chris went out one night with some of the guys, and like some of us have done in our lives, including me, had one too many Pepsis. Actually, it was something else. But when he got home, she was mad at him. I think she went with him, but she was mad at him, and he's laying there, and she said, oh, I'm sick, and she's fussing on him for doing what he'd done in that big water bed. And she tells, where you at, Delaney? She said, I thought, boy, I'm so mad at him, and he's sick. He's so sick because of what he'd done. And said, he's laying there. She said, I just start bouncing up and down that water bed. Remember that, Chris? Yeah, you won't forget that. I hope you don't mind me telling that. Too late now. But what I'm talking about today, I want to talk about today, is not a natural bed. But beds I'm talking about are people that get in them and spiritual beds. Beds of sin. Beds of slothfulness. Beds of depression. I've known people that absolutely get so depressed over things in their life that they just go to bed and you can't hardly get them out. And I'm not being ugly, I'm not being critical, because sometimes terrible things happen to us and all we feel like doing is going to bed. We don't feel like going to work, we don't feel like doing anything. But a lot of people are in a bed of lukewarmness. Some are in a bed of hypocrisy. Somehow or another, they wound up in a bed of hypocrisy. Can y'all hear me okay? Some are in a bed of sickness, natural sickness, oppression, self-pity. Boy, that's a terrible thing to have, is self-pity. Anybody ever pitied yourself? My dad used to carry, they always come up some kind of joke, and he carried M&Ms around in a little medicine bottle. And he'd see somebody depressed or pitying herself, said, I'm going to give them some of these pity pills. But we have different reasons for getting it. Some of us have gotten in beds of unforgiveness. And it's absolutely made us lifeless, made us not able to do anything. Beds of hurt. Beds of hurt. I remember, and I won't call any names, of course, but one of our best friends, even till today, and Nancetta is the one that did the great work in the Lord. But they had a terrible thing happen in their family. Terrible accident. Terrible thing. And Nancetta found out. We found out about it, and Nancetta was good friends with this person, this woman, and she went over there to her house, and this woman was just just curled up in a fetal position in the bed, in that bed. And Nanceta just got right in there with her and laid down, hugged up to her and loved on her. And eventually, as a result of starting there, I think this woman became a Christian and loves the Lord. She was finally able to get out of that bed. Some of y'all here today, you're trying, you're struggling. You may be in a bed of some kind. God wants to get you out of that bed today. God wants to get you out of that bed today. It's imperative that we get out of these beds and make them up. Get out of them, make them up. Say, I'm through with you. Jesus told somebody, and I'll read that in a moment. He said, get out of that bed and pick it up and carry it home with you. Carry that thing that's had you bound and you've been wrapped up in it. Now you carry it as a testimony that you're out of that bed. You don't need it anymore. It's a wonderful thing to think about. And I want to give you some scriptures about in bed. Proverbs 26:14 says, the danger sometimes of staying in bed. We got to get out of that bed. I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times that I've found myself in a bed of discouragement, maybe self-pity. And I'm not talking about a natural bed, but a spiritual bed. I wasn't worth a flip to nobody, to God, myself, or anybody else, till I got out of that bed. You got to get out of that bed. Proverbs 26:14 says, as the door turneth upon hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. In other words, just back and forth. You're no good. You can't do anything. Accomplishing nothing. Turning. Tossing. Listen to this scripture here. And I really feel the Lord in the house today. Now, said a uncle, Dr. Boyce, her great uncle, he was a character. Of course, most of y'all don't remember him. But he did some strange things. He was a wonderful doctor. But my dad was telling me, and as far as I know, this is a true story. He was treating a woman. At that time, doctors made house calls many, many years ago. And she was a hypochondriac, really. She really wasn't that sick. But she just thought she was and made out like she was. And her husband came to Dr. Boyce one day and said, Dr. Boyce, you got to come get my wife out of bed. You got to come do something. And of course, today he'd go to prison for this probably, but he said, you really want me to get her out of that bed? He said, yeah. He knew wasn't anything wrong with her, just self-pity or whatever it was. And he drives that old black Ford car out there and takes a towel with him and goes in there and kind of wraps that towel up and whips her out of that bed. I'm sure he didn't hit her hard or beat her up, but get out of that bed. Get out of that bed. Well, I'm here this morning. Not Dr. Boyce, but I'm here as a preacher with a spiritual towel to tell you this morning, if you're in a bed of self-pity, unforgiveness, whatever it may be, I'm going to get out of that bed by the word of the Lord. Somebody say amen this morning. Amos said this, listen, 3:12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd takes out of the mouth of the lion, remember the Bible said the devil goes about as a roaring lion, two legs, this devil is two legs or a piece of an ear. So shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwelleth in Samaria in the corner of a bed. If you dwell in that bed, he said, you'll wind up being taken out in pieces. Ear by one ear, whatever. Don't stay in that bed. If you stay in bed too long. Now listen, sometimes we probably need to go to bed for some reason, for a few moments, but don't stay in that bed too long. I remember, as well as you do, many of you do, back years ago, when a woman had a child, they'd stay in bed a week or two, and I know my sister-in-law, that's ex-sister-in-law, she's already going to be with the Lord, but she had their baby, her and my brother Paul. And, boy, she was tough. She just jumped right up out of bed and started doing stuff. And I remember my mama saying, she's going to kill herself. She's going to pay for that. But now when a woman has a baby, just as quick as they can, they get them up out of that bed. And or if they used to years ago, if you had like appendicitis, you stay in bed after that surgery for at least a week. They wouldn't let you get up out of that bed. Had to use a bedpan. Lord, have mercy. Wouldn't let you get up out of that bed. But now, I've seen it a lot of times in my life. We'd go visit somebody in our church that had a hip surgery or something, a hip replacement, and we're going to get over and check on them, had surgery that morning, and we'll walk in the room, they're up walking around fooling with the bed. You got to get up, but the doctors realize the quicker you get out of that bed, the faster you're going to heal and the better off you're going to be. Amen. I want to encourage some of you this morning, if there's anybody here that way, get out of that bed. Self-pity? What's wrong with you? And I'm preaching to you one that's been there. Amen. I never will forget when Jim, my brother, was in the Air Force, and he come home on a leave, and they was going from here to the Philippines, going back to the Philippine Islands. And that's a long time ago. And I was going to take him back to the airport that morning, Nancette and I. And Dad and Mom, of course, were still living, and I went out there to pick him up and got ready. And Daddy and Mama both just killed, because most of us had never been any further than Hohenwald. And matter of fact, my sister Judy, I wish she was here this morning. My brother Paul had surgery in Nashville one time. We went loaded up that old car, all six of us, and Mom and Dad. And my sister Judy, we'd never been nowhere. And I still ain't been a whole lot of places, but we'd never been anywhere. But Judy's going down the road, and Judy said, "Daddy, which side of the road's Nashville on?" I aggravate her about that sometimes. And Jim, when he was in the Philippines, he was in Texas this time. He rode home, called home one day, or rode home, and he said, "Mama," said, and "Daddy," said, "I'm going to get to come home this weekend." Said, "There's a man from, lives in Spring Hill, and he said that he's going to come home this weekend, and I can ride with him." Now, I don't know where Spring Hill is, but he said, "If you'll come pick me up in Columbia, he'll drop me off there." Anyway, we'd never been anywhere, but I remember my dad. He, I guess he kind of felt that way. Jim got ready to go, and he's kissing him by. And Daddy went in there and got into bed. He crawled back into bed, and Mama, she's standing in the kitchen there crying. And by the time we started to walk out the door, I heard Daddy, and I'm going to kind of tell you what he said. "Elsie, come get into bed, hon." She's just crying. "Come get into bed." He said, "Yeah." He said, she said, "Clyde, you think that's the answer to everything?" Their bodies live staying right out here. Now, forgive me for telling that on you, please. In the graveyard. But sometimes we get hurt. We get hurt in church. Somebody in our family hurts us. Bad, bad. I'm talking about bad. Sometimes other things happen in life. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get depressed. We get frustrated. And we just feel like all we feel like doing is just going to bed. And that's okay for a while. But don't stay in that bed. I said, don't stay in that bed. Aeneas, Jesus Christ will make you whole. Woo! Somebody help me this morning. Call on the name of the Lord. And he said, get up. And don't just get up, but you make up that bed. And Nancetta, I get in trouble sometimes for telling stuff like this. Not too bad. She just leaves me for a day or two. She always comes back. But, well, thank you. She still does this today. A lot of times she'll get up before I do. This is the honest truth. She's a wonderful housekeeper, and I thank God she is. And she can't stand for anything to be out of place. And she'll get up before I do. And she's sleeping over here, and I'm laying there. I'm awake, but I hadn't got up yet. And she will actually make up her side of the bed and push it up under me a little bit. But don't just get out of that bed. Make it up. Say, "I'm through with you. I'm not going to let you wrap around me and ruin my life and ruin my family's life and ruin my relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to get up out of that bed, the bed of unforgiveness. Boy, it's a bad bed to be in. It'll destroy you. It'll absolutely destroy you. You got to get up out of that bed. Get up out of that bed. You stay in bed too long, and I know this is even a physical truth. You stay in bed too long, you lose strength. You lose ability to move. I've known of people that stayed in bed so long, they couldn't even walk anymore. They couldn't, when they finally got up, they had to learn how to walk all over again. Because they, and I'm not being ugly. Some people can't help it. Some people get sick and they get in bed physically and they're not ever able to get back up again. But sometimes they are, they just won't. And we've got to get up out of our beds. Notice, I want to read you a scripture in Job, and I'm trying to hurry. In Job chapter 7, Job chapter 7, if you want to turn there, look at it with me. Job chapter 7. Job, boy, he knew about getting in a bed. Job, he had all kind of problems. But Job 7:13, Job said, "When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then I'm scared in that bed with dreams and terrified by visions." While I'm in that bed, I get scared, I get afraid, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. When I get in that bed, he said, it's a fearful thing. He said, I start thinking about all kind of things, strange things. And he said, I feel like just choosing death over life. I would not even want to live. Let me alone, he said. So you got to get out of that bed. It will absolutely destroy you. You got to do everything you can to get out of that bed. And sometimes we have to really make an effort to get out of that bed. I had my great aunt Linda Haley. Some of y'all don't know her. She was a wonderful person, and she was about 93 or 94. And had to put her in a nursing home. She had a brilliant mind still. Couldn't see, but had a brilliant mind and could hear real good. But she got to where she couldn't walk, and they put her in a nursing home. My mom and dad was taking care of her. And, she hated it. She told me one day, and this is nothing ugly about nursing homes sometimes. Those things, we have to get in one of them too sometimes if we ain't careful. But sometimes we have to get in there if we are careful, because things happen like that. But my mom, went to see Aunt Linda one day. She said, "I got to get out of here." She said, "I'll tell you one thing. If you ain't crazy when you come in here, you will be time you get out." and I remember telling her, and my dad and them thought she was in there to stay, and because they felt like that's all she could do, because she's so old. I think I told her, maybe I said, "Lindy, if you get to where you can walk again, like you need to, we'll get you out of here." You know what she did? She got up out of that bed, helped somebody. She started walking, and she couldn't go far at first. Boy, she'd walk a little bit up and down that hall, and finally one day, we realized she was ready to come home. And we went and picked her up in one of the happiest times of our life. Took her back to her little house. But if she hadn't have been determined to get up out of that bed, she would have died right there in that place at that time. I want to tell you, you may be in a bed. You may have every reason in the world to be in that bed. You may have every reason in the world. But the devil's going to use that, if you're not careful, to destroy you and your relationship with the Lord. Self-pity, grief, boy, that's a bad one. God will help us to get out of that bed. Aeneas, rise. Make up your bed. For Jesus is going to make you whole. We stay in bed, we can get in serious trouble. Sometimes we get hurt, discouraged, disappointed, frustrated, weary, or even sin. We may get in a bed of sin and take our bed. God wants you to get out of that bed. It only gets worse and worse and worse. When we get out of one of those beds, sometimes we have to have help from other people. And that's what churches are for, and brothers and sisters are for, to pray with you and encourage you to get out of that bed. And that's what we need to always be doing. And we got to seek the right source if we're going to get out of that bed. 2 Kings, I ain't got time to read all that this morning. But a king named Ahaziah, he fell down, the Bible said, and he was hurt, and he had to go to bed. And you know what he did? He sought Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. As a result, the Lord told the people that came to him, tell him, say, he's not going to never get out of that bed because he's seeking the wrong place. He's seeking the wrong God. He's seeking the wrong God. It says in verse 14, he died according to the word of the Lord in his bed. He could have gotten out of bed if he sought the right source, if he sought the help from the Lord. Real quickly, I got to hurry. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. David said, when I got in that bed, I remembered the Lord, and I meditated on his promises, that he said he would satisfy our soul. He would give us praise and joyful lips. He said, when I got in that bed, I started thinking about the Lord, how wonderful God is, and how he could bring me out. Psalms 149, verse 5, 6 and 7. Let the saints be joyful in glory, but if they have to go to bed, let them sing aloud upon their bed. Start singing in that bed. Start singing in that bed. Well, Matthew 9 and 2, as a man sick of the palsy, and he was in a bed, lying on a bed, a mat, a lying on a bed. You know what happened? His friends brought him to Jesus. All these people that we see that we know are friends of ours and loved ones, that are in beds of different things that are destroying their life, we need to bring them to Jesus. I said, we need to bring them to Jesus. And the Bible said when Jesus saw him, he told him to take up his bed. He said, rise, take up your bed. Get that bed, that thing that you're laying on. Get out of it, wrap it up, put it on your shoulders, and carry it with you. Carry that thing that's had you bound all this time, because the Lord touched him and enabled him to do it. And said, go to your house where you belong. Next verse says, he arose, took up his bed, and walked and departed to his house. There's not a bed that anybody can get in that God can't bring you out. But you got to want to get out of that bed. You got to want to get out of that bed. Remember John chapter 5, Pool of Bethesda? A man laying by that bed, been there 38 years by that pool. Had been there 38 years. You know what Jesus said to him? Rise, take up your bed and walk. The Bible said when they saw him carrying his bed, they just marveled about that. He got victory over that bed. Mark 6, 55, 56. They carried the sick in beds to where he was. They were all made whole. Aren't you glad he's one that can raise us out of those beds today? But listen to this, Luke 17, 34. There are going to be two in the bed when the Lord comes back. One's going to be taken, the other left. Or we're going to be the ones that loves the Lord and puts our trust in the Lord and gets us out of that bed. Song of Solomon, on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Oh, remember our text this morning. Rise, make up your bed. Jesus Christ makes you whole. I want to say this morning as they come back this morning and to sing a song. Would you stand with me this morning all over the building while they come back today? I want to say to you this morning, somebody that loves you and somebody that's, I've had a little experience about that kind of stuff, a lot of it, but I'm glad I'm not in a bed this morning. I said, I'm glad I'm not in a bed. I said, I'm glad I'm not in a bed of self-pity, sin, whatever it may be. My little mama, I think about him a lot. I worked at Dana or Lewis Products at that time. I was in the office, had a good job. And I wasn't married at that time, living at home right up here. And we've been out half the night, me and some of my buddies, and doing stuff, you know, carrying on. It wasn't bad stuff, but just carrying on. I didn't want to get up and go to work that morning. And I want to stay in that bed. Boy, ain't it amazing how that bed feels so good about work time?
Yep.
And I'm laying in that bed, and I can take you to the room unless the folks have changed. And I'm laying there, and been at work at 7, and I guess about 6 o'clock. Bill, get up, get out of that bed. I just grunted. She come back a little bit later. Bill, get out of that bed. I didn't want to. Get up, Bill. I don't know how many times she come. Finally, she come in there, and I'm ashamed of this. Mama, forgive me. And she said, Bill, get out of that bed. I said, leave me alone. I don't want to get up. She said, okay, if that's what you want. I woke up about 8:30. Could have lost my job, I guess. Jumped up out of that bed. I don't think I even had time to brush my teeth or do nothing. But she finally gave up. You know, you can wait too late sometimes to try to get out of that bed if you're not careful. Yep. I'm going to tell you this. If you're in any kind of bed that you don't need to be in, maybe backslid in a bed of backslidden condition, maybe a bed of sin, you've never given your heart to the Lord, arise, get up out of that bed. Yes. The Lord wants to buy a bed of sickness. We got anointing oil here today, and the Lord said he'd heal you, he'd touch you, he'd bless you, he'd minister to you. Oh, listen, all kind of beds, like I said earlier, we could be in. Arise, master that situation, conquer that situation. Get out of that bed. I say, get out of that bed. The alarm's going off. Get up. Don't waste any time. Get up. Y'all got a song ready?
Sure do.
Okay, what are we going to sing?
Heart of Worship.
Huh?
The Heart of Worship.
Can I help you?
Yes.
Oh,